Hi, I'm Judy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Judy.
This is just my story. If you're a newcomer or a newish comer, this is only my story. I don't speak for OA. It's just my experience so far. But before I get started, I have to tell you how I came to speak today. So maybe 7-8 weeks ago, my sponsor's on the having my weekly call with her on the phone, and she said, I want you to think about speaking at a meeting. Think about it, pray about it, and let's talk in a couple weeks. Of course, there was dead silence on my end of the phone because I thought, oh, no bloody way that's going to happen. So I get a lot of help by writing. So I wrote out 2 full pages of all the reasons why I wasn't ready to speak. I didn't have a recovery. And so in preparation for this argument I was going to have with my sponsor, I talked to a friend who's in a 12-step program. And I laid out my really well-crafted argument. And she said, you know, Judy, I can't speak for OA, but in my program, if I'm asked to do service, you just do service. And you know how when someone says something that you know is true, even if you don't really want to hear it, I knew that was true. So that's how I'm here today. How it was. Father was an alcoholic. My mother was depressed, probably a sugar addict. A lot of chaos in the home. Divorced by the time I was 4. Lot of trauma. Really quiet, shy kid. Just kind of hid in the corner most of my life. Did well in school. Skipped the 3rd grade and then stayed back in the 6th grade because I wasn't mature enough. And the family drama had reached kind of a peak at that point. Learned to be independent, and that's something that I took a great pride in for a lot of years till I came into these rooms and realized that all that independence meant I wasn't very good at having relationships with other people. There's a song that I like by a blues singer who's in recovery, and one of the lines is, the friends you don't make always let you be. And that's kind of how I ran my life. My mom then joined a religion that I now think is kind of cultish, although it did a lot of good for her. It didn't do a lot of good for me. It had a God that was a very mean God that ruled by threat. And it was a religion that thought the earth was going to be cleaned of everybody who was not part of that religion within a few years. So I left the religion, moved in with my boyfriend, who then became my husband, who later discovered was an alcoholic. And because of the rules, my mother couldn't speak to me, so it was a bad situation. All through that time, I definitely was a compulsive overeater. I wasn't overweight to speak of. I'd gained 20 pounds and then used the latest diet to get it off. But I was definitely using food to cope, and even like as a kid, stealing candy from the stores and that kind of stuff. Ordering a pizza and having it delivered and pretending there were 5 other people in the room when they delivered it, that kind of nonsense. Fast forward, 12 years ago, I changed jobs about a month after my mother passed away. We had since reconciled and it was lovely. But it's a job that was really high pressure, really in your face, and working for my best friend. And within 5 years, I'd put on 80 pounds. So I had pulled that armor on to help protect me from what I was fearful at. And the weight and the compulsion was hurting me, and that it was affecting my health. I started getting all kinds of different chronic things related to my health. My home was a mess, my finances were a mess, my work was a mess. I became very isolated, living alone. I'd eat a normal lunch at lunch, normal to other looking to other people, and then go home and binge every night. There was a speaker once who described it as a gerbil on a treadmill in a cage in the dark eating, and that's a lot of how it felt. A couple of years ago, I sought outside help. And she suggested OA pretty early on in our talks and our working together. And I said, yeah. And she nudged me about it, and I'm a consummate people pleaser, and I'm always looking for that gold star. So I came to a meeting, and I came to what looked like the shortest meeting. It was a newcomers meeting, and I didn't realize it went on to another meeting. So that was really disappointing. And I cried through a lot of it. Thank you. I cried through a lot of it, and I cried because I knew it was my tribe, but man, I didn't want it to be my tribe. I did not want to be an addict. And she nudged me to keep coming back. So for about 6 months, I would come. I would come about 5 minutes late. I would scoot out of here like, you know, a cartoon shape of my body out the door. But I was getting stuff out of it. I'd write things down that people said that were inspiring, and that was great. And then last September, there was a speaker. And I was sure she was saying, just to me, and I've listened back to the podcast, and it lasted about 30 seconds, but it changed everything for me. And she says, in order to get recovery, you have to be in the middle of the herd. If you're on the outskirts, you're putting yourself in danger. You need to get a sponsor, and you need to work the steps. And like I said earlier, when you hear the truth, you know it's the truth. And so after a couple of attempts, I got a sponsor. And we start, and it was the perfect sponsor for me. We started working the steps, and one Saturday meeting, the person who was doing the opening asked for help for the following Saturday, and I agreed to do it. And I don't know if you've read the Tom Sawyer story about the Mark Twain story about Tom Sawyer charming his friends into whitewashing the fence for him. This person, like, had to have been a salesman at some point in their life, because he made me feel like I had the unique genius talent to set up chairs like no one else had ever had. And so I started doing it every Saturday with him. And it had a lot of benefits, not the least of which were the conversations we had, but also I'm kind of a shy person. And it's really easy for me to talk to the second and the third and the fourth people coming into the room, where it's difficult for me to walk into a room and have a conversation. So it was really good for me to get to know other people in fellowship, and I really valued that. Not long after, I was talking to someone in these rooms while we were setting up, and there were a couple other people here, and I said, you know, I probably should add another meeting to my program. I didn't mean it. And someone said, I go to a Sunday meeting. I can pick you up. How about we go tomorrow morning? And I thought, yeah, why the hell did I say that? So I went. And it's a beautiful meeting. If you ever get the chance to go to the Sunday morning meeting at 8, it's wonderful. And it was wonderful for me because it was a smaller group. I learned how to share honestly and not just say, I did this and I had this really great result, aren't I swell, kind of shares that I'd done previously. And I was able to ask for help. I was able to say, hey, I'm working through this problem and I don't know what to do. If you have any ideas, come see me afterwards. And I got great counsel. And I felt there what I also feel now here, which is there were people on the sideline just going, go, 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 Judy, all the time. And that's been amazing for me. What it's like now. I work the steps with my sponsor every week. It's a nice blend of nudging me forward and consoling me when I need to be consoled. I pray every day. I read every day. I write most days. It's very different. I was abstinent even when I was first coming into the rooms, but it's very different to be abstinent and working a program. I have a higher power. I don't really know how to define it. Someone in the rooms one time said, it doesn't matter who your God is as long as you're pretty sure it's not you. And that's what's true for me. I know it's someone that I trust what they tell me to do. I work a food plan. I recently reworked it with my sponsor, come in with red and yellow and green light foods. I go to 2 to 3 meetings a week, more if I'm off work. And what I found is that program talks about how it's simple but not easy, and that's how I experience it. You have to do things differently. It's not comfortable to do things differently when you're 60 years old and you've done it the same way for 60 years. But that's what's required. My MO is to run in the other direction anytime something is not the way I think it is, or I think I'm going to get hurt. And I can't do that. Thank you. I often feel clumsy. And the visual image I have is of a colt learning to walk. A 60-year-old fat colt learning to walk. And you see how a colt is very unsteady, and the mother horse and the horses kind of hold it up and carry it forward. That's what it feels like for me in these rooms. I often am uncomfortable, but I found that it only takes a teaspoon of willingness and a whole lot of my head saying, oh no, I'm not going to do that, and just doing it anyway. When someone asks me to go to another meeting with them, I go. When someone asked me to go, the same friend that takes me to the Sunday morning meeting took me to a Zoom class last Sunday. And you can bet I didn't want to go to that. And I went. And what I'll tell you is that every time, I'm always glad I did it. And so I've had enough of that experience that it's made me a little bit more willing as I go forward. One of the things I'm grateful for in this fellowship is when I came into it, I was really sad that why didn't I get this sooner? Why didn't I get this when I was 20? Oh, the life I could have had. But then I meet these women who are 10 and 15 and 20 years older than me, and they're vibrant and they're fierce and they have great lives and they have problems just like we all do. But they've gotten me excited about this part of my life, and I love that. My relationships with my friends and family are better. I've had two friends recently who I hadn't seen in a few months who came up to me with that squinty-eyed look like, what are you doing? There's something different here. And while I've only lost a little bit of the weight so far, 20, 25 pounds, they see that I'm different. I'm not the zombie that's just living in fear all the time that I was before. When something comes up and I'm scared and I want to eat, I go to a meeting. That job that I took 12 years ago, I just got laid off this week. And I didn't see it coming. And I went to a meeting. And while I'm grateful that I had the job, because a lot of the character defects, my fear of people, my not being willing to speak truth to power, all that stuff that I'm working on, I got to work on a lot of that there, and I'm grateful for it, but I also trust my higher power enough to know that I'll be okay. I would have been a complete basket case if it had happened a couple years ago. So I'm grateful to program for that as well. There's a lot of service that people do in this program that they don't even know if they realize. When I was first coming to program, I can remember one woman who just reached over and squeezed my shoulder one day. I can't tell you how much that meant, because I started feeling like part of the herd. And a couple of years ago, when I first started getting help, my therapist said, wanted me to write out what I wanted my life to look like. And those are the things we're gonna work on. And this is one of the things I wrote. I want to have a solid spiritual practice with like-minded souls. This group supports my practice, and we lean on each other. I'm able to speak from a calm and centered place. When I feel myself getting depressed, I know what to do. And if I need additional help, I ask for it. I can't describe OA any differently than that. I've been given love on the days that I didn't love myself here. And I've been given friends that I'll have for the rest of my life. So I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you.